Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaveryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavaditamastma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, so we went through the chapter 8. And then we are on the point 13. Okay, one should not talk very loudly before the deity. So, the principle, the same, that out of respect, and the center is Krishna. No, especially when we are in the temple, so it should be quite obvious. So therefore, what's the point of talking loudly? No, we don't need to get attention to ourselves. We don't need to pay attention to anybody else. No, in the crowd, we are there to focus on the Lord. We want to talk. We should go on the side somewhere, or we should go outside.
Mm-hmm. During tools push sometimes, we see someone and we want to speak something rapidly. Is that okay? You know, like when you're Janikan in Chapa. I mean, it's not like a rule, but sometimes it happens that.
No, yeah, it's better just to go somewhere on the side, not be like in the. Just on the side, mention whatever you need to mention. Maybe something urgent or. But then after that, then you just get back to your duties. Don't try to take it as time off or something like that. Know what your duties are. So like if you are alone there and then you are being part of the kirtan, and then just you are part of the kirtan, you see something, somebody is wants to say something, you want to say something, like I mentioned, then just continue doing what you are supposed to do. If you are there with somebody whom you take responsibility for, like family, so if say a kid wants some attention, then you cannot drag him in the kirtan, noticing that he needs some attention. So you have to just go out and then just do what you need to do, see what he needs. So that's your responsibility. So you have to judge. See, very important is in devotional service we have to be able to use common sense. But nowadays common sense is not so common, unfortunately. But we have to learn how to actually apply it and commonly use common sense.
Because common sense for us be based on our sometimes old concepts. So the very basic common sense.
Okay.
I've experienced one temple that it was kind of almost opposite, like the more advanced or senior devotees and temple management. They have quite a hard time following common courtesy in the temple. They were texting with their cell phones and talking with Alpha to other management devotees.
It should not be.
No, is this going on? Do you have any experience with that? Because I was kind of.
See, If no, you have some like a senior manager, the managers, and they need to do something. So generally, no, they have enough authority, enough common sense that they would go out and then not do it somewhere else, like not in their office or in the room. So no, you don't have to make the temple room as your office. That wouldn't be. You may get a call, it may be important, then okay, then just go out.
Funny thing is, or just go on the side. Big sign with a cell phone and a red line over it on the door to the temple room, and there's the temple president inside talking in the cell phone. It's a little bit,
Yeah, and think sometimes he may expect some serious important phone call, so then he has it with him, has it on. As he gets it, then discreetly he just gets out of the room and then takes a call somewhere else. No need for some show off or something.
Yeah. I mean, I've spoken with others about it. There were converging opinions. Some said that, well, he's busy, he's the temple president. He's elevated, he don't have to follow rules.
No, that's not true. If he doesn't follow, then why would anybody else? Why did Krishna go to Gurukul?
Yeah.
He didn't have to. I mean, he really didn't have to. So maybe he's the president, maybe he made the rules, but that does not really make him above the rules. But even he follows. So, we may be careful how to judge it, not to criticize, not to. But we may ask him, maybe.
Would that be okay for me to ask him?
I don't know, it depends on the relationship.
Yeah, because if I'm a new devotee at the temple and.
But then, if you are, you don't have the courage to ask, then. Don't criticize, don't talk.
Yeah. I went to my immediate authority and said, what about this? And he said, basically, for me to mind my own business. So I did that.
Then do that.
Yeah.
What else can you do?
No.
But just make sure that you yourself don't do it.
I don't have cell phone.
It's a solution. Okay?
Yeah.
One should not talk with others before the dating. So, you mentioned this.
So, does it also include preaching? It might be an example that somebody is coming there, to visit the
Well, preaching, what do you mean by preaching? Somebody is there new and he's your guest, okay? So, in front of Krishna, then maybe you can just tell him, this is Radha Madhava, our worshipable deities, and, there are the Ashtasakis, there's Giriraj, there is, Shri Prabhupada. You can explain, and you may say kind of like a 2 days some festival, or now it's Darshan Arati, so we will go around, and then you can, keep them busy, try to meditate about the Lord. You can do, just speak about Krishna. Krishna is the center. So you can just do that and then have them be part of the kirtan or do what you need to do. If you need to talk to them a little bit more, take them on the side and explain something. But in the temple, don't plan your, main class instead of the experience, because then really preaching would be to have the talk with them before you take them to the temple and prepare them what the experience may be, so then let them have the experience of the temple, the devotees, the kirtan, the bhajans, the darshan, and then after the temple visit, then you can just again explain what happened and how, and then talk more about on the preaching level. So preaching means also you prepare for. Now if you just happen to meet somebody there in the temple, then again you can just maybe make a contact, explain that these are the deities and that's what we do. And if you are interested, then after we come from the temple, I can take you around Mayapur, I can show you more things, and then explain more about the philosophy. You understand? You can make it such a way so that you don't divert the focus in the temple. So if you are preaching in a temple, then you should preach such a way so Krishna is the center and he is standing right there. So right now try to experience that he is the center. You understand? And then here, not to talk with others, is that Prabhupada was mentioning that you have something else to say or you want to discuss something. So that should not be done. That should be taken out. It should be done at some other places. So here the principle would be that Krishna is the center. When we are in the temple, the focus should be on the center. Means Krishna. Anything else which would divert our focus should be avoided. And if we can help to focus somebody on the center, on Krishna, then it's beneficial. Krishna will appreciate. Yeah? One should not cry or howl before the deity. Just getting attention. No, it's not very pleasing. So if something happens and then there's some emotional outcry, then if it happens to us, then we should just rather immediately leave and or if we see that it's happening to our friend or somebody, then just try to help. To move them out, but we should take that very much into consideration. Sometimes it happens that maybe too crowded and some devotee just passes out, and then so then just quietly then take him, lie him down on the side, and then give him some water or something, whatever it needs to revive him. But you don't have to do a lot of trying to get so much of attention of others. It's just quietly done. Nobody may even notice anything. Yeah.
What about the local
No, that's as good as conch. When the conch is blowing, that the ululu is actually their way how they blow the conch. So it's auspicious. So it's done. When they blow the conch, you hear that. That's not howling. That's auspicious sound. Yes?
It might be a little bit off topic, but in regards to the local women, I've seen them sometimes lie flat on the floor and actually roll around in front of the places. Yeah. Where's that from?
It's a different sampradaya. We don't do it.
Okay, it's just... Okay. Yeah, because I thought it looked like something that... Not something they just made up, like on the spot.
Yeah, it's not coming from Vrindavan.
Okay.
Yeah. Now 16. One should not quarrel or fight before the deity. Well, no. That's... It's one thing, right? But sometimes it happens that you may catch a thief, right? So then you may little punch him or something to get him down. But then after that, just again, take him out and then, finish the job outside. No, shouldn't be that. Things like this should be done in front of ladies. Same reason. Yes.
Previous one to cry. If your emotion or gratitude, is that the same level?
It's a different thing. That's not howling. That's not.
Crying. Like,
there are example of many devotees who cry out of ecstasy, but that's a different thing. It's a different emotion. One should not be... 17. One should not chastise anyone before the deity. No. It's chastisement, again, it's showing that we are in control of the situation. We are trying to correct somebody. So then showing our position to somebody, in front of deity also is not very appropriate. It's understood. If somebody does something wrong, just take him outside and then, just do it. Do it outside. Explain to him. But it should not be that you are chastising someone from deity. Because generally when you chastise somebody, then there are many people around and they don't know what's happening. So they will take sides. So finally you may be chastised instead of another person. So you have to consider always the time, place, the circumstance, how you give punishment, how you chastise somebody. Because it is very important to consider that. Because the punishment is done, so the person corrects what he did wrong. So if you consider it properly, then the impression of you giving some chastisement will be such that he will not want to do it again. But you have to do it from the point of view of you being the well-wisher. There must be some relationship. If you just do it as out of revenge or out of just anger or anything, then there is no really need or want from the other person to just want to change. Why should he? And in fact, seeing that makes you angry, he may even not just get you more angry by the same activity or not even escalate it. So it's no point. Yes?
Does chastisement automatically include is correcting within chastisement, or can you correct someone without being in chastisement? Or just correction?
There are many ways of how we can... chastisement. Chastisement may be also even like a friendly comment that, that wasn't so smart. Right. You can say it like this. So the person may not feel intimidated at all, but based on the relationship, you'll understand that, I should have done it in a better way. But if that doesn't work, then you have to increase on the intensity of the chastisement. So there are many levels. So these are chastisements. But which one you choose, that's based on the situation. So if it's something quick, just to say something, comment that something did something wrong or shouldn't be done, that's you are not getting the attention. If you are really chastising somebody from the position of that you are the well-wisher, you are his well-wisher and you want for his benefit, then you wouldn't do any heavy chastisement in front of ladies because it will not have the effect. So then you have to find the right place and times and circumstances. Otherwise, it's not really you being the well-wisher. It becomes personal. And that's not chastisement. It's different. Yeah. 18. One should not be charitable to beggars before the deity. No. The same thing, the beggar, he is not the center of attention. So the charity, no, in the temple, should not go to somebody else than the person who owns the temple, and that's Krishna. You want to, you know, give some charity to some people in need, do it outside. It's not that you cannot do it. Yes, of course. But no, you are not trying to put that person, you know, as a center of attention.
Yes. One person always in the temple will go inside and say that because people shall insistently, right? So just give him some prasada. Is that okay then?
Yeah, that's okay, yes.
So that's what it is about some prasada.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's okay. Shouldn't be like money, especially, or gifts. But it should not be that anybody is begging in a temple. No. So that should be seen by the authorities that that's not given. If he's just bothering, okay, so then you give. But it's best just not to really entertain that. So then they understand that they should not be asking for anything in the temple. No. In fact, proper beggar doesn't really ask. When you see a beggar who just stands and then just waits what Krishna arranges, then that's a proper beggar. The one who comes to you and just begging and keep touching like that, those are not really beggars. You may see many, many children, mothers with children. And then, when you go to Calcutta and then they come to your car and then they bother. What you give them, they get nothing from it. It's a mafia there. So what they get, they have to give to the person who actually controls them. So they plan on your sentiments, but they don't get anything of it.
So this issue of the mafia of the beggars,
it is, yeah. So there's no point of being really sentimental. But if you have Mahaprasad, just give that. But many of these beggars, they just throw it away. Yeah. So then you really see that they are not really beggars. Generally small kids, when you give them prasad, and they are very happy, but they have to eat it immediately, otherwise the others come and they take everything from them. No? So give them something which they can eat immediately on the spot, and they will be the most happy. You give them money, they cannot keep it. You give them something bigger, they cannot keep it. They will lose everything. But something small which they can eat right there, right now, then they will be very happy because they will do that. One should not speak very harshly to others before the deity. So that's like the chastisement. So that should not be done. 20. One should not wear a fur blanket before the deity. So fur blanket, generally it's done from the, that's like a wool, the lower class of wool, then the thread is shorter. So then what happens is it sheds. So you get the fur blanket, which they are not the cheap ones, even cheap chadar. And it's shedding. So then the shedding, basically, it makes the temple dirty. It's not good. So wool in general, unless it's really proper cloth, then generally it's not recommended, at least for pujaris or, you know, like that, who directly go on the altar, unless it's, you know, good, very good quality. Like cotton or silk is recommended. If it's good quality. If it's not so good quality, and then if it sheds, then you shake it and you see that something falls up. It's, no, you cannot really wear it. You shouldn't wear it even into the temple.
Maharaj mentioned something about the wool not getting contaminated.
See, wool does not get contaminated by air. That means that you may take wool, you know, to a place which may be contaminated, but the wool doesn't get contaminated. But it doesn't mean that if something drops on it, the place is contaminated. You have to wash the place. And the wool, you know, after some time, again, it gets certain smell. So you purify it. You purify it on the sun. And then once in a while you can wash it. Let's say if you sleep with the wool, then you should not be wearing it to the temple. You should have separate for the sleeping, like a blanket. And the blanket you should put anyway, cotton. You should not sleep directly on the wool. Because wool has the tendency also to take energy. So you will not get very good sleep, you know, sleeping directly on. So cloth is there. But when you put the cloth, so then, no, the place around you does not get contaminated because the blanket doesn't get contaminated that way. But you have to keep it clean. Clean and pure. So that means clean, you have to just put it on the sun at the time. And if you go somewhere to the bathroom and then, no, you make it wet, then that doesn't mean that it didn't get contaminated. It's not magic. Yeah. So if it touches, no, that you are in the toilet and it touches the ground, then the place is muchi. You have to wash that. It's not that, no, it's wool, nothing can be done to it. It's not true. But silk and cotton, no, you take it to a place which is, let's say, contaminated like the toilet, even though you don't touch the ground, still, no, the clothes will be contaminated. So when you do puja, you have to take your clothes off, no, even going just to pass water. And then after, now you wash your hands, your mouth and your feet, then you put the dhoti back on. One should not elogize or praise anyone else before the deity. Again, the point of focus, who is the center. One should not speak any ill names before the deity. No, you don't want to get the mind think of some other things. There is, like, one should not be ill names or swearing or anything like that. The mind should be focused on the Lord, and anything else which will take the focus away shouldn't be done. Twenty-three. One should not pass air before the deity. Well, that's quite obvious. 24, one should not fail to worship the deity according to one's means. So if somebody is rich, then no, you can can provide many ways how to worship deities, like the Maharaj Rahugana, no? He would use only golden utensils, you know, for the worship, and only once. So every day then he would just have new golden utensils and then throw it away. So he had the facilities, so then he did it. So nowadays then, you know. But for example, when you have the banana leaf plate, that's better than gold. And better than that, then it's the leaf plate of lotus flower. So that can be also served on to Krishna. But not in the West. It's a bit not so easy to get banana leaf plate. So then you can use bell metal, brass. Those are pure metals, very high class. Stainless steel is not very high class. Iron is pure, but iron rusts. That's the problem. Copper can be used, but copper needs more cleaning and polishing than brass and bell metal. Silver you can use, but expensive.
This plate which we have, what plant is it from?
Which one?
We have some round plates.
Uh-huh.
Which plant is that? It's some of the we buy in the market.
Well, what that means, a dry one?
Yeah, the dry one.
Okay, it's from 1-3. It's called from sal tree.
Sal.
It's a tree which is grown for wood, and it is like not big leaves. You see them fallen, no? And that's being collected, and they they steam it. They put it together. They steam it, becomes a little wet, and they press it. So then you get the shape you want, and it keeps it. So that's that salpata, it's called. It's practical because you can keep it for a long time. So whenever you need it, you can use it. But it's not very high class. But it's better than you would use, say, the stainless steel. Sometimes you see that they use the salpata, because it's nice round and it has a shape, but inside they will put banana.
Yeah.
So that looks very nice. Generally you will see it on some occasions. So then that's specifically some bigger festivals that they can do it like this. But just a piece of banana plate, it's great. One should not eat anything which is not offered first to Krishna. So we should stick to prasad. Sometimes we have to travel, right? And then we may have to buy something and which it's not offered. And then what to do? That's the dilemma. So then we should always, before we eat it, should offer it to our guru. Because he knows, he can do what he can do, he can offer. Because we have no deities with us, and if we cannot really, in the mind, offer it with everything what needs to be there, then we should offer it to Guru and pray for forgiveness. Okay, I need to eat something, and so please offer that to the Lord. We should not think that just eating no, not offer things is okay because it's justified yukta vairagya. You should always at least think of that, well, no, I'm eating that because I have to eat it, and then, no, please, no. We have a relationship with our guru. So then, based on that, ask him, please offer that to the Lord. See, okay, the first consideration will be if it's not offerable, then why would you even go for it? Now, if it's an addiction that you need to have it, and then you really consider it's not offerable to the Lord, then you should take the humble mood and then, okay, I really feel bad, I'm addicted to it, but, so please, forgive me, and I'm taking it. What to do? At least one should feel, quite humble about it. It's a fault, but I have no strength to do something about it. But if it's something which is not really bad, then it should be offered. I mean, you see that the cold drinks are not really as always the best. Did you ever try, say, the like a Thandai or Jaljira? Those are drinks which they are really cooling. It's special masala.
Which one?
It's a masala. There's many different kinds of spices. So it's like a sweet, little salty, little sour, little astringent, a little of everything. And it's very specifically, in summer, you get it so then it cools down your body. Then, and it doesn't have to be really cold. The cold is just for the senses, but it really cools. And in summer, something which is heating. Winter, as it drinks.
Okay.
Yeah, so then you get like a lot of ginger, a lot of black pepper, honey. So there are varieties of, and then if you taste them, then you don't really have that need the taste for the cold drinks. Cold drinks, being cold, actually it's just for the senses. It immediately cools down the body. But what happens is that as it cools down the system, so now the system artificially being cooled down, then it starts producing more heat to balance the loss of the heat. So actually you are overheating. By drinking too much cold, you overheat. And then rashes come out and so many things.
Headaches.
Yeah, headaches. There was some study done that because the cold drinks, as they have the bubbles and the sugar at the same time, so then it gets very quickly, instantly digested. But the sugar also, with the bubbles, it's in acidic, very, very acidic environment. So immediately the acidity of the blood comes up. And also sometimes they put some phosphoric acid and so many other things for the flavors, so that just increase the acidity. Now when you drink a lot of it, so then the body immediately have to counteract it, to neutralize it. Actually, if the body wouldn't do that, then you would die. It's so acidic. So then to neutralize it, the body takes all the reserves and everything which is available. And for that, calcium is a very good agent. But where to take the calcium from? So it takes it from the teeth and from the bones. So then drinking a lot of cold drinks and regular basis makes your bones and teeth weak. So it's there's a connection. So, there are other alternatives which, like a dab, sweet dab, immediately enters, also the digestive system and nourishes and cools down. So that's why it's drunk during the day, never after the sun sets. The green coconut? It's very cooling agent. So knowing these things are not chas. Buttermilk. Buttermilk actually it can be drunk not 12 months a year. No, anytime. In summer it is cooling. But in winter it is also very great effect on the body. You can try it. It's easy. You can make it yourself. You can get the butter. No, you can get the yogurt and get one part yogurt, five parts water. Mix it. Actually, churn it together. Put some salt and let it stay for a few hours. And then put some cumin powder. And itself. Just that's it. You can put chons if you want, mustard seeds, curry powder. But that's enough. That's it.
It looks like yogurt, but spicy.
Yeah. Yogurt. Very like a thin lassi, salty lassi.
During meals in India sometimes.
Yeah. That can be just when you are really hot somewhere on walking on some parikrama. Then you can drink a lot of it, and it really helps. It hydrates the body immediately, gives you energy. It's good. So there are so many ways. Sugarcane juice. And then there are varieties. You can make it differently. So it's just need to explore the varieties, then you will find out, you get the realization. Okay, 26. One should not fail to offer fresh fruit and grains to Krishna according to the season. So, whatever we cook, then we offer to the Lord. So then we don't cook something which we cannot offer to the Lord. So we do it such a way, so then whatever we prepare then can be offered. So being fruits, vegetables, grains, dal, whatever it's there the season, then we do. In Bengal it's rice, in North India it's more chapati, or different kind of roti. Over here, it's one style of cooking the vegetables, South India will be different, North India will be different. But that's according to the season, according to the place.
This principle would keep life very simple, right? Because you don't destroy the things which are not available.
Yeah. Now with the export-import, then you can buy anything, anytime. But you find that if it's out of season, like getting cauliflower in summer, it's out of season, it's expensive, has no taste. But now, the season is coming, so then now it's, you buy it now, it's cheap, and has very nice flavor. So why would you go for something in summer? It's not meant to be taken in summer. So in summer, there are other vegetables like lau, because it gives a lot of
pumpkin.
Yeah, it's what do they call it? Something like a green, it's like a green pumpkin. There's some name in English for it. It's some kind of pumpkin.
Yeah,
There are many kinds. There is like a char kumra, which is more like the roundish. Then you have that lau, which is more like a round. Yeah, like that, yeah. Yeah. The char kumra is more like long way. Then there is one which is like a bulb. A bit. And so many kinds. So as they grow, you grow it on your garden, on your field, and then as they grow, then they just use them, and that's the best. Because what grows at that season, that's what the body needs the most. It gives what the body needs the most. So no need to really think so much. Just what grows, you eat. It's most tasty, and the body needs it.
After food has been cooked, no one should be offered any foodstuff unlike this first offered to the deity.
So the same, Krishna is, it's meant for him, so he should taste it, and then we taste his prasad, not he our prasad.
One should not sit back with his back towards the deity.
So, we already discussed.
29. One should not offer obeisances silently to the spiritual master, or in other words, one should recite aloud the prayers to the spiritual master while offering obeisances.
So, then we should not be afraid to pronounce the mantra. So then it's clear in our mind, with the senses we are fully focused on the obeisances. So, we are paying obeisance to the spiritual master.
I've always wondered about that. In the sense, I was thinking, is that because, of course, Krishna knows everything, but we would be explicit in our relation to the Guru in front of him.
Okay, yeah.
So is that
principle? Yeah, we are putting ourselves into the humble position. So we are paying obeisances, right? So just to make sure for ourselves that we are paying obeisances, because the mind sometimes is very tricky. You may pay obeisances, and if you are not fully focusing, the mind can not take you completely somewhere else. You may be paying obeisances, but you may be somewhere else. Just to make sure that you are there, then you should recite the prayers. If some devotee is fully absorbed in the service and then he fails to pay the obeisance because of that, that's not a fault. But it's not that he avoids. We should avoid paying obeisances to places or time or circumstance where the person whom we pay obeisances cannot fully pay attention. He is rushing somewhere. And we just in front of him pay obeisances for 5 minutes. No, that's not appropriate. No. Then okay, let him go. You see he's okay, so Hare Krishna, and then you can pay obeisances after he leaves. Or you are not clean. Or you are not in the clean place. So you don't pay obeisances. You may go and meet him at the bathroom, so then what do? Right? You don't pay obeisances not in the bathroom. So again, it's the common sense. So then how you have to consider all these things.
There is a list, isn't there, of things, I seem to remember, when the spiritual master is picking flowers, you're not supposed to pay obeisances.
Well, he is being focused. See, it's the same like in the temple room we discussed, no? Mm-hmm. Krishna is already getting attention from somebody. Then, or your guru, he may be attending, he's doing something already. So why do you want, suddenly to distract the attention? So you just No.
He's absorbed. It's not us, Kanyavlage, who needs to, oh, look, I'm here. Hare Krishna. No. No, not like this. No. No, that's not the point. So if there is opportunity, no, he's walking. So then we can just come, pay obeisances. No. But if he's busy, we are not going to disturb. No. We don't have to do that. Yes.
I seem to remember that. I may be wrong, but I think that in some places, some of Mahaprabhu's disciple would offer, not disciple, admirers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would offer their obeisances from far away. And then, so then that seems a little different than what we know in ISKCON and what we see.
You see like during Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, when he was here, then he and the devotee, his disciples wouldn't pay obeisances directly at his presence, or not near, or just not to be, they didn't want to be really seen paying obeisances. Why? Because whenever they would, he would return. So he would pay obeisances to them. So they didn't want to do that. So they would always pay obeisances from far. It's just, he has different mood. He's seeing himself as the servant of everybody, so then the way he will also act. But it will make the disciple really awkward, that his spiritual master is paying obeisances, right? Just or returning the obeisances that way. So they would rather pay obeisance from distance. And then, just when being approached, so just have a reciprocation other than just paying obeisance at that time. Yeah? No, yeah. So it's depending on the state of mind, how it's done. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also would be very much affectionate. I wouldn't be surprised if he also would return, but that's not what the person who is paying the business is seeking from the person who is senior to him. It may be something else, but two friends meet and then they pay obeisance to each other, so then they are very happy. Yeah.
Okay, 30. One should not fail to offer some praise in the presence of the spiritual master.
Simple as just you can say Hare Krishna. Or if you are good in Sanskrit, then you can just create some prayers for the situation. There's no limit.
So that's okay?
Yes, it's okay. You can do every time something else. Okay.
What about if we are in front of the teacher?
Well, you should not do it in front of the deities, directly. It should be a little bit at least on the side or... But as we said, big guru comes in the temple room, so some devotees pay obeisance even during the arati, some don't. It's more spontaneous. But you are not obliged to really that time pay obeisance because you are already involved in the service. And the guru doesn't really expect you to pay obeisance. He himself is already absorbed on the arati. So it's a little distracting when he has to see everybody. Because like when Srila Prabhupada would go, then the devotees would have the feeling that actually he's with everybody reciprocating. When they would try to pay business, they thought that Srila Prabhupada is not reciprocating with them, but everybody had the feeling. So he could do that. Just pay the attention in such a way so everybody feels that they are getting attention. And they were all getting attention. So the guru, yes, he should return somehow. So at least by the attention of the person who is paying the obeisances. That's the way how he returns. But since he is already doing something, we don't want to distract him from that. So therefore we should just keep ourselves humble enough to not to think that we are the center and then we have to get his attention. Can praise the devotees there. See, like Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam, it's about praising the devotees. So you can talk about the glories of the devotees. And then that's, you talk about glories of Prahlad Maharaj, so then just by the glories, everybody benefits. Krishna likes to hear about Prahlad Maharaj. Krishna likes to hear the glories of the devotees. Now, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talks about glories of Haridas Thakur. He glorifies him. He's the Nama Acharya. He's the best of the devotees. So he is not... and then anybody else glorifies him. He's so pleased. Somebody offends him, then he is in trouble. So that's not at all wrong. Just... the form, how we do it. So when there is, you are already involved in the arati, you don't have to really, take the form of, paying dandavats at that moment but you still acknowledge, okay, he's there, Hare Krishna. But you don't have to go run after him, say, I'm here, Hare Krishna. So you are not seeking his response. You are, just paying your respects. You don't necessarily ask for his respects towards you. Before, during Srila Prabhupada's time in the temple, that they would or and even after he left, the lamp from the arati would go slowly but once around. And that's it. So, who would come, would take. Who didn't, then didn't. Now it's being served directly and, so it's one way. But, you are already attending the arati. You're attending the program. So the focus is there. And then, the guru comes, then if you pay obeisances, it's not wrong. But it should not be said that the temple president announces, okay, now everybody has to pay obeisances when the guru comes into the temple. He would feel awkward. Arati is going on and just it's by rule that everybody has to pay obeisances now. So where is the kirtan? And then, because of him, it stopped. And then, so, because of him, because of me, now Krishna is not having proper kirtan. So how would that make him feel happy? Yeah?
Master in front of the teacher, and
You can praise the spiritual master in front of deity also. But you are not trying to do it such a way so then you are noticed that you are doing it. No. So then you don't become the center of attention. Or you are not doing it such way so then he feels awkward. Because if you make him very obviously the center of attention in front of deities, if we think about how he may feel, then we may understand that it's not the best way how to actually, you know, offer him some gratitudes. So we have to become sensitive to know how, if we want to pay some gratitude, if we want to offer something, how to do it. So the form must be there. We may not feel bad about it, but do we consider the other person? See, in relationships, yes, we have, if we want to have relationship, we have to consider the other person. That's relationship. So that's important. Okay. Okay, anyway, and the 31, then one should not praise himself before the spiritual master. So, same principle. And 32, one should not deride the demigods before the deities. So, no, we should not really praise the demigods, we should not even, no, deride them. There's no need for any.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama